For the weekend also, we have some more information.
চক্ষুরুন্মীলিতাঞ্জেনা তস্মাই শ্রী গুরবে নমঃ। শ্রীচৈতন্যা মনোভীষ্টং স্থাপিতং যেন ভূতলে স্বয়ং রূপকদমহম দদাতি স্বপদান্তিকম্। বন্দেহং শ্রীগুরো শ্রীযুতপদকমলম্, শ্রীগুরুন বৈষ্ণবাংশ্চ শ্রীরূপং সাগ্রজাতং সহগণং রঘুনাথান্বিতং ত্বং সজীবং সাদ্বৈতং সাবধূতং পরিজনসহিতং কৃষ্ণ চৈতন্যদেবং। শ্রী রাধা কৃষ্ণ পাদান সহগণা ললিতা শ্রী বিশাখান্বিতাংশ্চ। হে কৃষ্ণ করুণা সিন্ধু দীনবন্ধু জগৎপতে গোপেশ গোপিকা কান্ত রাধা কান্ত নমস্তুতে। তপ্ত কাঞ্চন গৌরাঙ্গী রাধে বৃন্দাবনেশ্বরী বৃষভানুসুতে দেবী প্রণমামি হরিপ্রিয়ে। বাঞ্ছাকল্পতরুভ্যশ্চ কৃপাসিন্ধুভ্যৈব চ পতিতানাং পাবনেভ্যো বৈষ্ণবেভ্যো নমো নমঃ। শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু নিত্যানন্দ শ্রী অদ্বৈত গদাধর শ্রীবাসাদি গৌর ভক্তবৃন্দ। হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে হরে, হরে রাম হরে রাম 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 হরে হরে। হরে কৃষ্ণ। I came back to England after about 6 months. Has been quite a long absence, and as Shruti Dharmaprabhu was mentioning, actually in last 25 years I stayed in one place for 6 months, and it was very nice. And but at the same time, While I was feeling quite good about not traveling, but I was missing the association of the devotees. And especially when I came back to England this time, I was virtually realizing how closely I am connected to this jatra. when I was away, although I was missing the association with devotees, but still, I didn't realize how much I was missing them until I came back. And I was seeing those, how deep are those relationships and how much they actually meant to me. And in a way, I also got to see how much I also meant to them. And Shruti Dharma Prabhu, Pranavanda Prabhu had been very, very close friends for many years. Gauri Prabhu also became, although we knew each other for many years, but I am developing a deep relationship in here. Because in India, although we used to be together, but we didn't really get the opportunity to serve together as such, which we are getting it here now in England. And another thing that made me feel very deeply related to the devotees here was recently some devotees developed some critical ailments, and I visited them yesterday, and I could see how much that visit meant to them. And I remember in early days when Akhandari Prabhu used to be the temple president of Bhaktivedanta Manor, used to have a very wonderful exchange with him, a lot of intimate time together. And now once in a while we get an opportunity to, not once in a while, once every year, we get an opportunity to relish his very wonderful association. Actually, those days, Bhaktivedanta Manor meant Akhandari Prabhu, Shruti Dharma Prabhu, Pranavanda Prabhu, Gauri Prabhu, and all the devotees were actually recruited and trained up and by Akhandari Prabhu. He really rendered an incredible service to this jatra, especially Bhaktivedanta Manor. And I'm very happy to be here with you all. And there was a time, actually, well, before I got involved in the project in Ujjain, the project is actually so the dimension of the project is so big that I felt that I needed to spend about 8 months a year there, and I naturally had to commit myself in that way. And I thought that I would travel very little, like, which would mean the places around the world that I had to go, I would go to those places, cover those places in 4 months or 3 months a year. And after coming here this time, I was considering that out of those 4 months, I'll try to spend a considerable amount of time out of that in UK. And Actually, Shruti Dharma Prabhu and Pranabandhu Prabhu always had been insisting that I spend time in England. So many times I even committed also that I would come every 2 months and spend so much time. But eventually it didn't happen for mainly one main reason was I was very much involved in completing the Abhaycharan project that demanded a lot of my time. And to tell you frankly, another main reason why I was not really that inspired or enthused to get involved as such here was mainly because I was seeing that, like, Shruti Dharma Prabhu, Pranabandhu Prabhu and all the devotees in UK are doing so much, and what am I going to do coming here? They are making all the arrangements and I come and have a good time. And I felt that it was unfair. And anyway, I'll try to spend as much time as possible. Can you please give me that book? Whenever I come across Shruti Dharma Prabhu's arrangements, I marvel at his ability and his capacity to do things in a very, very systematic way. Like I was told that I would give these three classes on these three different topics. But when I came here, I saw how wonderfully Shruti Dharma Prabhu actually organized those topics for me. Do all of you have this book? Okay, so one of the pages are describing the spirit of service. I think everyone should have a copy. Everyone is meant to have a copy, I think. Shruti Dharma Prabhu, on the topic spirit of service, has selected a quotation from Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada is saying, "So my point is, by serving the Supreme Lord, one gives the best service to the family, because if one becomes a Vaishnava, pure Vaishnava, the whole family, up to 14 generations, they become liberated. Therefore, tivrena bhakti yogena, we should not divert our attention for any other service. We should simply concentrate for rendering service to the Supreme Lord. This is the conclusion." So Prabhupada is pointing out how serving Krishna, everyone actually derives the benefit. In this respect, I remember when I became a devotee, I actually read the Nectar of Devotion and decided to become a devotee. And then I inquired where Srila Prabhupada was. That was in Calcutta. And I was told that Srila Prabhupada was in the United States. And then I thought that until Srila Prabhupada went back to India, I would travel to different places where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna performed their pastimes. And thinking that the first place I went to was Sridham Mayapur. And Mayapur, as you all know, like, it's an extremely beautiful place. Those days I would say Mayapur was even more beautiful. It was very serene. I arrived in the evening, the whole atmosphere was so serene and so tranquil. And the devotees were so warm and kind-hearted. Like, whoever I spoke to, practically everyone asked me to stay on and become a devotee. And so the next morning I shaved up and went to the Ganges, took a bath, threw away my old clothes and put on dhoti and kurta and became a devotee. So when I, after a while, when my father got to know that I was there, I actually wrote to him and he asked me that I should come because there was some important thing to take care of. So I went, and when I went I was shaved up, wearing dhoti. He thought that I was just visiting. I mean, I went to Mayapur to visit, but he didn't realize that I became a devotee. So when he saw me, he got a shock. And he was very, very upset. And then I explained to him that I could stay and I could take care of him. But I would be able to take care of him, if at all, only as long as he would be on this planet. But now that I have become a devotee, I can actually take care of him, even in his next life. And I quoted this verse, that when in that place Srila Prabhupada mentioned that when one becomes a devotee, 10 generations before and 10 generations after become delivered. And that actually made some deep impression in him. And he didn't mind. He realized that I was serious and what I was actually practicing was really worth its while. And since then, although he did not completely or wholeheartedly accept my involvement in Krishna consciousness, but he did not prevent me or stop me from becoming a devotee. So the greatest benefit that we can render to everybody around us, whether they are family members or whether they are friends, whether they are whoever they are, whoever is connected to us, derive some spiritual benefit because of our involvement in Krishna consciousness. So, the best service that we can render to the world around us is actually by becoming a devotee of Krishna. And in this respect, Srila Prabhupada gives an example, a very wonderful example, of watering the root of the tree. Like, the tree has various branches and leaves and twigs. But when we want to benefit the tree, we do not have to separately water different sections of the tree. We simply water the root of the tree. And because the rest of the tree is connected, all the branches and twigs are connected to the tree, they derive the benefit by getting the water in the root. So Krishna is the root of everything. Therefore, when we serve Krishna, then everyone becomes served. And when we give people Krishna consciousness, then everyone actually derives the highest spiritual benefit. Sometimes people ask, what are you doing for the welfare of the people? But little do they know that the highest welfare activity is actually Krishna consciousness, giving them Krishna. In this respect, I remember one incident with Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was visiting a very, very wealthy family, very wealthy person in Pune, who was, this family was related to the Birlas. Now, probably you know, the Birlas those days used to be the richest Indian family. And so they also were very wealthy, and this family, the person Srila Prabhupada was visiting, and this person asked Srila Prabhupada, that what are you doing for the welfare of the people? Like, you're asking everybody to chant Hare Krishna, becoming a devotee of Krishna. But what are you doing to really benefit the people? He meant, why aren't you feeding people or opening hospitals and doing such welfare activities? Then Prabhupada told this gentleman, look, you are a relative of Birlas. Now, if one of the sons of Birla become mad and he run away from home, because he became mad, he would not have any memory who he is. He wouldn't know who he is, who his father is, which family he belongs to. So he'll be wandering in the streets like a madman. Even for a handful of food, he'll have to struggle so much. And he have to undergo so much insult and tribulations. And now, if you see him in that condition, will you just give him 5 rupees and tell him, go and have a meal? Or you will tell him, don't you know that you are the son of Birla? Come, I will take you to your father. And when he comes to his father, all his problems will be solved. Similarly, we all are children of Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is our father. But unfortunately, we became mad, we lost our memory, we lost our father's home, and we are wandering in the streets like a raving madman, trying to get some food here, trying to get some shelter there, and undergoing so much insults while doing that. Now, what is going to be the greatest welfare activity rendered to us if somebody wants to render it? Won't it be to remind us that Krishna is our father and we must go back to him? And Srila Prabhupada pointed out, and this is what we are doing. We are simply reminding everybody that he is a son of Krishna. She is a daughter of Krishna. We are reminding everybody about their lost relationship with their Supreme Father. And by doing that, we are actually rendering the greatest service to everyone. Because Krishna is the root, and when we water the root, then everybody becomes satisfied. Now, when we speak of service, we actually mean the service to Krishna and Krishna's devotees. The material outlook or materialistic attitude is to lord over. Lord over because we all think in the material nature that we all are lords and masters. Why? Because material nature is inferior and we all are coming from Krishna's superior energy. Jiva bhutang mahabahu aparayam itastannam prakritim vidhi me param jiva bhutang mahabahu jajedam dharjate jamat. This material nature is apara, inferior. And beyond this inferior nature, beyond this inferior material nature, there is a superior nature. Prakritim vidhi me param. And jiva bhutang mahabahu jajedam dharjate jagat. The living entities, the jivas, jiva bhutang, are coming from that superior nature of Krishna, superior energy of Krishna. And jajedam dharjate jagat, they're exploiting this material nature. The living entities in the material nature has only one business, to exploit this inferior material energy of Krishna. Everyone in this material nature is simply trying to exploit. And what is the result? What is the outcome of that exploitation or endeavor for exploitation? The more we try to exploit, the more we suffer. This has been very nicely pointed out in a book called Prema Vivartan by Jagadananda Pandit, an associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. A Krishna bohir mukh hoiya bhogobancha kari nikatastho maya tare japatiya dhare. As soon as a living entity looks away from Krishna, Krishna bohir mukh hoiya bhogobancha kari, desires to enjoy this material nature. Because that's a natural outcome. As soon as a living entity looks away from Krishna, where does he look at? Looking away from Krishna means, after all, everything is Krishna. So looking away from Krishna means looking at Krishna's inferior material nature. And as soon as he comes in contact with the inferior material nature, and he being from the superior nature, immediately develops a tendency to lord over or exploit. Because that is that's the natural tendency of the superior towards the inferior. He immediately wants to enjoy or exploit this material nature. And what does the material nature do at that time? Nikatastho maya tare japatiya dhare. The material nature, maya, who is standing nearby, actually just side by side, Krishna's external energy, Krishna's internal potency, and immediately next to that is Krishna's external potency. And in between there is a thin line, the separating the external and internal is the marginal potency, the jivas. So as soon as the jiva looks at Krishna's inferior material energy, he develops a tendency to lord over, and immediately maya grabs him. Maya tare japatiya dhare, very tightly embraces him. And then his condition is pishachi paile jano motichanna hai mayamugdha jiver hai shibhav udai. When one becomes haunted, madness is actually caused by being haunted, in most cases, being haunted. Haunted by a ghost. Pishachi means a ghost, a female ghost. Ghosts also have gender. So, Pishachi, a female ghost, grabs, embraces him very tightly. Pishachi paile jano motichanno hai. When one becomes haunted by a ghost, he loses his memory, he loses his sanity. Motichanno hai. So a living entity bewildered by maya develops a similar condition. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada gave the example of Birla's son becoming mad. When he becomes mad, then he loses his memory. He forgets who he is. He doesn't have any awareness of who he is, where he comes from, and what's he meant to do. So a living entity in this way becomes entrapped by the material nature. And the cause of this entrapment is first looking away from Krishna and the consequent outcome of developing a tendency to lord over. It's natural, it's inherent, we can't actually avoid it. As long as we are looking towards the material nature, we won't be able to help the tendency to lord over. Now, what is the remedy? How can we rectify that diseased condition? In this respect, I remember one incident that took place between Akbar and his ministers. Akbar was a great Mughal king in India. He was very famous for his intelligence and wit. And Akbar had in his court, he had a minister called Birbal, who was famous for his intelligence. And people, other ministers used to complain to him, why are you so partial towards Birbal? Why are you so biased towards Birbal? Why are you always favoring him? So Akbar tried to explain to them that because of Birbal's extraordinary intelligence, that he is so attracted to him. And they were still not convinced about it. So one day Akbar came to the court and he drew a line on the floor with a chalk. And he asked whether anyone would be able to make that line shorter without rubbing it off. Everyone was quite baffled, you know, how is it possible to make the line shorter without rubbing it off? No one, none of the ministers could actually do anything about that. So then finally Akbar asked Birbal, can you make this line shorter? And Birbal said yes. So Birbal went there, picked up the chalk and drew a line larger than Akbar's line, and he said, now your line is shorter. So greater and smaller is a consideration of relativity. When we are looking towards the external energy of the Lord, inferior energy of the Lord, we are, in relation to that energy, we are superior. In relation to that nature, we all are superior. And therefore we naturally develop a tendency to lord over. But if we become exposed to somebody who is greater than us, then we will become inferior to him. And then our attitude will change. What to speak of when you become exposed to the greatest, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the remedy actually is to become aware of Krishna. Krishna is the greatest. And when we become properly exposed to Krishna with proper understanding, then we recognize our position being inferior. Krishna is superior, we are inferior. And then naturally we develop a tendency to serve Krishna, because it is the natural tendency of the inferior to serve the superior. That is how Krishna consciousness is a very practical and a very scientific process. We do not have to artificially do anything. We simply have to become aware of Krishna. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada named this institution as the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. This is an institution, this is a society where everyone is getting an opportunity to become Krishna conscious, conscious of Krishna. And when we become conscious of Krishna, then we naturally develop our service attitude, which is the beginning of spiritual life, the real spiritual life. There are other processes, yoga and meditation and so on and so forth. But those processes are not practical. Those processes are only an intermediary step to come to the platform of devotional service. Like a yogi, when he attains perfection of yoga, then what happens? What happens to a yogi when he attains samadhi, which is the ultimate perfection of yoga? In samadhi, he actually gets to perceive the super soul. A spirit soul perceives the super soul. So when a spirit soul, minute spirit soul, perceives the super soul, the supreme personality of Godhead, naturally recognizes greatness, then what happens? Naturally, automatically, he surrenders unto him. And that surrender is the beginning of devotional service. So, this surrender or prapatti is the ultimate outcome of yoga siddhi. And in this way, after one attains the perfection of yoga, he becomes a devotee, or he gets an opportunity to become a devotee. Similarly, our understanding, we use another expression which means the same, that is Sharanagati. Sharanagati means surrender. And we know the foundation of devotional service is Sharanagati. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Jive Daya Kori Shaparshad Shiyodham Shaho Abhutori Uttanto Durlabho Prem Koribare Dan Shikhai Sharanagati Bhakotero Pran. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in order to bestow his mercy upon the conditioned souls, appeared, descended with his associates and abode. Shaparshad Shiyodham Shaho Abhutori Uttanto Durlabho Prem Koribare Dan, in order to bestow very rare love of Krishna, Krishna Prem. Uttanto Durlabho Prem Koribare Dan, in order to bestow that, in order to award that very rare Krishna Prem, Shikhai Sharanagati Bhakotero Pran. He is teaching the process of Sharanagati, surrender, which is the life and soul of devotional service. So that is the process, surrender to Krishna. At the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also is saying the same thing. Sarvadharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. Giving up all your nonsense, just surrender up to me. That's the instruction that Krishna is giving. Sharana, sharanam braja. Same word. Sharanam braja, take shelter of me. Sharanagati, surrender unto me. So when one surrenders unto Krishna, then only devotional service begins. As I said, service must be rendered towards the superior. Of course, there is another higher consideration. Apparently, service is rendered to the superior. But when you go deeper, then we see there is another consideration, another criteria for service. What is that criterion for service? Love. When you love somebody, we serve that person. Mother loves her baby, and she stays up through the night. She doesn't eat anything, just takes care of her baby. For the sake of her baby, she is prepared to undergo so many difficulties. Why? Because of her love for her baby. So in this way, in the material nature, the tendency is not of exploitation, but obviously it is out of selfish motivation that we render some service. Like an employee serves his employer. Why? Is it out of love? No. It is because of money. He gets the salary, so he is serving. But actually that is not service, that is some sort of selfish exploitation again. The employer is trying to exploit the employee, and the employee also is trying to exploit the employer. Srila Prabhupada said the only somewhat selfless service that we see in this material nature is the mother's attitude towards her son, towards her child. But then again, Srila Prabhupada pointed out that although it appears to be selfless, but it is actually not selfless. It's a matter of extended selfishness. Our selfishness extends beyond our own identity to those who are related to us. Beyond this body, those who are related to the body, they are our relatives. And we, out of that relationship, we render some service to them. Like the mother would serve her baby, but the mother won't serve anybody else's baby. Right? So in this way, material nature is actually nature of exploitation. Everyone is trying here to exploit everybody else. Bhogobancha kari. Everybody is trying to exploit. But Krishna consciousness actually revolutionizes the concept from the world of exploitation. We are transported to the world of service. And that is what the spiritual nature is. Material nature is the world of, or nature of exploitation. The world of exploitation. And the spiritual nature is the world of service. There everyone is serving. Why? Out of their love for Krishna. They are expressing their love. Or out of their love for Krishna, they're compelled to serve Krishna. And that is what devotional service actually is. And Srila Prabhupada came here to teach us how to spiritualize our material existence. We all are in the material nature. But there is a very thin line between material and spiritual. That is, when we put ourselves in the center, that is material, and when you put Krishna in the center, that is spiritual. When we put ourselves in the center, we become selfish, and our tendency is to exploit for the sake of our sense gratification, trying to exploit the material nature to enjoy through our senses, which never happens. Whereas the spiritual world is where Krishna is the center. So we may be here in this apparently material nature, or why should I say apparently, in this material nature. We may be here in this material nature, but here if we put Krishna in the center of all our activities, if Krishna becomes the sole center of all our activities, then that this nature will become spiritualized. So Krishna consciousness is a process of actually transforming the material nature into spiritual and transporting us to the spiritual sky through this alteration of our attitude. Whether we're going to put Krishna in the center or whether we're going to put ourselves in the center. That is the ultimate consideration. If we put ourselves in the center, we will lead a self-centered life of exploitation, which leads to suffering. However, when we put Krishna in the center, then we become transported to the spiritual sky. But this nature becomes transformed into spiritual reality. And that is the world of service. The world of service. There our attitude is, what can I do for Krishna? What can I do for Krishna's devotees who are serving Krishna so nicely? How can I assist those devotees who are serving Krishna so wonderfully? And the more this attitude develops, the more we make spiritual advancement. Often devotees ask, how will I understand whether I'm making spiritual progress? And the simple answer to that is, how much service attitude you have developed. Is the service attitude developing or the service attitude diminishing? If the service attitude develops, that's a sure sign of our spiritual advancement. It is not that when we become advanced devotee, we become a superman. No. When we become an advanced devotee, we become the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. This is a world of service. Krishna consciousness is a movement of creating that service opportunity for everyone and thus become transported to the spiritual sky. And sometimes, while practicing Krishna consciousness, we do become affected by Maya. We do think, well, now I'm a big devotee and now everybody should serve me. In me you can see a classic example of that. Like, and that is a very, very dangerous situation. And it's a Maya's test. Maya will always test us. When we try to become a servant, Maya will give us the opportunities to become masters. But we have to understand that under all circumstances, under all circumstances, we are nothing but the servants of Krishna. Actually, the higher we go, the bigger of a servant we become. This also can be graphically exemplified. Like material nature is like a pyramid. Material structure of the material nature is like a pyramid. Like the lowest one is at the bottom, and the highest one is sitting on top of everyone. Isn't it? The big boss means what? He is riding on the shoulder of his subordinates. That's the material structure. Whereas the spiritual structure is diametrically opposed to that. Spiritual structure also is like a pyramid, but an inverse pyramid. There, the highest one is shouldering the burden of everyone. And who is the highest? Who is the greatest? Krishna. And what's he doing? He is catering to everyone's demand. He needs milk, he needs water, he needs air. So Krishna is constantly supplying or making all the arrangements to provide for all that we need. In this way, Krishna is maintaining us. So if we become a representative of Krishna, if we truly become an advanced devotee in our spiritual life, then what we have to do? We have to shoulder the burden of others, those who are engaged in the service to Krishna. That way we become the servants of the servants of the servants. Under no circumstances we become the master. Although the titles are given sometimes, spiritual master. But ultimately, who is the spiritual master? What's the spiritual master? It's not that he becomes the master of his disciples. He actually becomes the servant of his disciples. It may sound odd, but an example can be given in this way, that a devotee knows that everyone is a child of Krishna. And he knows that he is the servant of Krishna. So when someone is put under his care and custody, then does he think that he has become their master? No. He actually thinks that they are the children of my master. And as a servant of my master, it's my responsibility to take care of them. That is actually the real duty of a spiritual master. He never thinks that his disciples are his property and meant for, engaging them. Engaging them is fine, but the attitude is that they are put in, my children, my master's children have been put in my care and I have to take care of them. To become connected to the master, to become the good children of my master. So in this way the spiritual master renders his service, although he is identified as a master, but actually he is a servant. And ultimately, as I said, even Krishna is actually serving everybody. Therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur didn't like the expression that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is identified as the Father. He says, Father, identifying him as a father, is in a way making him into the servant. Because the children demand things from father and expect things from the father. But our business is to serve him as our Lord and Master. And then by his mercy, we will develop other relationships. Like we can see, that the five different types of relationship that we have in devotional service, Krishna's role as the father is not really that prominent. Dasya, he's the master. Sakya, he is a friend. Vatsalya, he's the father. He is the father and mother. He is the father. He is the son. He is the child. And the devotees become the father and mother. And then conjugal, like a lover, of his beloved. So in this way, the positive devotional service in the line of Gaudiya Vaishnava, Krishna is not really the father. Krishna is not even the master there. That's the most wonderful aspect of Vrindavan. Krishna is a friend. Krishna is the son. Krishna is the beloved. And in these three relationships, a very intense service is actually being rendered for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in order to relish these relationships, the Lord has become equal to his devotees or subordinate to his devotees. Krishna is placing himself under the care of his devotees simply in order to experience the joy. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to distribute that, and that is the meaning of the word Krishna Prem. And why it is so rare? It is so rare because that that is the only area, Golok Vrindavan, where Krishna becomes equal to his devotees. Krishna becomes subordinate, a junior to his devotees. In Vaikuntha, that there is no room for that kind of relationship. There Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and everyone else is his servant. Whereas in Vrindavan, Krishna has assumed a very special role of a friend and son and of a paramour. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give that, to distribute that, irrespective of any consideration for qualification. And Srila Prabhupada distributed that gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. And we are getting an opportunity to develop this relationship with Krishna by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are three questions. Please reflect on those three questions. When an opportunity for service comes my way, how do I respond? Should I pass the buck to the next junior devotee? Once someone made an observation and he expressed it in a joking way. He said, it's not difficult to find out who is the junior most devotee in the temple. And he told me that, like, I see that whenever somebody is asked to do something, he tells somebody else to do it. Then he in turn tells somebody else to do it. Then finally who does it, he is the junior most devotee. But that shouldn't be. Our attitude should be, and service is an opportunity. It is coming our way as an opportunity to render service by Krishna's mercy. So when it comes, we must grab it. There is no consideration for more dignified or degraded service. Every service is on the absolute platform. Of course, the senior devotees, the temple managers, the leaders, they will organize other devotees. But general attitude must be that when I get an opportunity to do something, let me do it. Because that's such a rare opportunity to render some service to Krishna. So, please deeply consider when some service come your way, how you are going to respond. The next one is, if I am asked to perform some service which I do not like, how do I tend to react? And there is no, in devotional service, there is no question of like or dislike. A wonderful example is Arjuna. Arjuna didn't want to fight the battle in Kurukshetra. Arjuna didn't want to fight. He didn't like to fight. But what did Krishna tell him? I mean, finally, through Bhagavad, after hearing Bhagavad Gita from Krishna, what was Krishna's what was Arjuna's attitude? Now, by your mercy, my bewilderment has been removed. I have become situated in knowledge, and I will do whatever you ask me to do. So service means not a question of whether I like it or not, but whatever is expected out of me, whatever the authorities are asking me, I must do it. So that is the real service attitude. And that is the meaning of unconditional. Devotional service is actually unconditional. There is no condition. There is no consideration whatsoever. I have been asked to do it, I must do it. Whether I like it or not. And third question is, how can I improve my service attitude for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada? How can I improve my service attitude for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada? So please deeply meditate on this point. How you are going to improve your service attitude. And I'll just give you a little tip. Recognize your position as smaller than the smallest. If you think that you are greater than the greatest, then you will develop an attitude of exploitation. But if you want to improve your service attitude, you have to recognize your position, how insignificant, how minute, how minuscule you are. And that is our position. How big are we? We tend to think that we are so great. But what is our actual size? 1/10,000th part of the tip of the hair. So that is our size. And we are thinking that we are great. We are so big. So Krishna consciousness is an opportunity to recognize how small we are. We must remember the gateway to the spiritual sky is very small. And in order to enter into the spiritual sky, you have to become 1/10,000th part of the tip of the hair. Then only you'll be able to pass through that gate. Not otherwise. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. As Shruti Dharma Prabhu announced, there is a 15-minute video on the development that is taking place in Ujjain. Recently, I embarked on this project, and this project is... We started this project in November. We set up a temple, in a temporary temple, in a rented community hall, which was given to us by the local government. And there we started our activities. And in the meantime, the government, we got a 4-acre piece of land where we are building, we started the construction of a temple, and we also have, government also is giving us a 75-acre land on the bank of a river, Shipra, and this is one of the holy rivers of India. Like, the nectar fell in 4 rivers where Kumbh Mela takes place, and Ujjain is one of them, and Shipra is the river where nectar actually fell. I hope you like it. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you. Gaur Premanande.
I'd like to thank you so much for that wonderful time.
And it is considered to be one of the seven holiest places. After the churning of the milk ocean, when Dandantari appeared with the pot of nectar, a struggle ensued between the demigod and demons to seize the pot. At that time, a few drops of nectar fell in four places. Ujjain is one of them. It is here in Ujjain that the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his Mohini Murti distributed nectar to the demigods. Lord Shiva eternally resides in Ujjain as Mahakaleshwar. Sandipani Muni's ashram also used to be here, where Krishna and Balaram came to study 5,000 years ago. Recently, while still acting as the chief minister of Madhya Pradesh, Uma Bharati offered 300 acres of land to ISKCON to set up various spiritual activities.
And I met Swami, he offered me to see Secretary in Ujjain. I had a pleasant task of convincing Swami that Ujjain is the best place to set up a Ravi center.
On 7th November, a temporary ISKCON temple was established in a community center in one of the most prestigious parts of the city. Thousands of people, including most of the important personalities of Ujjain, participated in this program. The function enchanted everyone, and ISKCON was established in full glory. Prasad was distributed abundantly to thousands of participants. Was the first ISKCON sannyasi to visit Ujjain. It's wonderful that after such a short time, there's immediately a good response. People are coming. There are very nice crowds of enthusiastic people who like to hear and take part in the kirtan. So it's a very nice indication that just after coming, there's good success. During the first Sunday love feast, about 500 people participated. Since then, the number is increasing every week. Now, about 1,200 to 1,500 people come every Sunday. yogi sumptuous Krishna Prasad. A small goshala has been established with a few cows and calves. They give about 20 liters of milk a day. Ujjain is reputed for its educational institutions. As a matter of fact, it is a university city. Taking advantage of the receptive students and favorable authorities, regular college and university preaching programs are going on. Recently, the most prestigious indoor public school organized an international conference on human resource management and leadership for the new millennium. His Holiness Bhakti Chand Swami was invited to be the keynote speaker. However, Maharaj decided to send one of his disciples from England, Sandipan Krishnadas, who is visiting Ujjain after having completed his master's degree as one of the top 10 students of the London School of Economics.
Sure, with the prominent ISKCON Center here, the new preaching here will flourish. Tremendously.
I gave one talk at the Victor University on to the physics department, about 200 people attended. And the nice thing is, the next day, the head of the Department of Physics came over.
Regular Harinam, prasadam distribution, and book distribution goes on in Ujjain. Swami decided to first build a temple in the city before developing the land on the bank of the river Shipra.
The government authorities offered ISKCON 4 acres of land in the most prestigious part of the city. Maharaj decided to plunge into action straight away. The 6th of February was marked as the day for the groundbreaking ceremony and installation of Anantashesh. Srila Prabhupada always desired that whatever ISKCON does must be first class, and His Divine Grace told His disciples also to strictly adhere to that principle. Sapphire, pearl, ruby, emerald, amethyst, topaz, coral, and garnet. The auspicious Abhishek was conducted by bathing Anantashek. On 6th morning, Anantashek was taken to Gopalji Temple, which was established by the king of Avanti many, many years ago, and which is the most prominent Radha Krishna temple of Ujjain. In a grand procession, Anantashesh was taken to the Mahakaleshwar temple, the temple of Lord Shiva, who is considered to be the king of the city. The citizens of Ujjain responded to this grand celebration with heartfelt appreciation. They showered flowers, offered garlands, and joined the procession. Upon the arrival of Anantashesh at the construction site, which is now turned into a grand festival site, a fire sacrifice was performed to sanctify the land. Lord Anantashesh, who makes arrangements for all the necessities of Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan, will now reside here. On his head, the temple will become manifest as a most precious transcendental gem. All the important citizens of Ujjain, Indore and Bhopal were invited to grace this occasion. When I found out that ISKCON wants to build a temple in Madhya Pradesh, we forwarded a proposal to build a temple here in Ujjain. The leaders and other government officials here at Ujjain also agreed to support ISKCON and facilitate them to build a temple. We had made a project model for the temple which Maharaj had envisioned to be built on 300 acres of land on the banks of the river Shipra. That project is still very much alive. This temple here is just a miniature representation of that great vision. On behalf of my colleagues and engineers, I pledge that we will try to finish the construction in 1 year's time, if not earlier. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness has many centers, but unfortunately, in Madhya Pradesh, there are no formal temples. In Ujjain, ISKCON will have its first large established temple.
I hope and pray to the Prabhupada and Krishna that all of your participation will be increased more and more, so that there's one wonderful center here that becomes a shining oasis of Sri Krishna consciousness. Lord, will take them all the different places here. Sri Prabhupada ki
jai. The grand finale of the program was the 12-course feast. Prabhupada constructed many gorgeous temples in many parts of the world, and he predicted that many more will become manifest in due course of time. Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan Temple in Ujjain will indeed become one of them. Another important development in Ujjain is a 3D animation studio, which is currently making a video game based on the Mahabharata. Jai Chaitanya Das is an ISKCON youth who was a teacher in a 3D animation school in Canada. He created a team of highly qualified animators. Some of the playable characters already created are Krishna, Arjuna, Yudhishthira, Bhim, Nakula and Sahadevi, Iravan, Ghatotkach, Bhishma, Dronacharya, Duryodhana, Shalya, Agadat, Avalokita, and Draupadi. The process involves building the concept from sketches, making a 3D mesh for each and every character, texturing and painting them, and animating from pose to pose.
This game should be published in the near future and made available in popular game portals, such as the Sony and Microsoft Xbox.
So that even Disney was showing interest. And now, to complete the game, it will take about 150 to 200 individuals working for one full year. So it's a very massive project. And it seems that we crossed the first hurdle, that is to get the response from the publishers. And the publishers actually do the distribution, and they have a massive distribution network. For example, in America alone, there are 62 million video games outlets. And it's a very big industry. Someone was telling me yesterday, I think it's Krishna Govinda, was telling me that video games are even more prominent than Hollywood blockbusters. And, I mean, if the video game becomes successful, and the quality is very, very high class. And we have made considerable amount of progress, as you can see. Like, one of the important things is to create the characters. Now, 18 main characters have been done, and the game creation of the game also takes a lot of skill, a lot of expertise, and this team that we have is really good. You have seen most of them are actually young. They're professionals from their field, but they're young. They came to India and worked for 3 months, stayed for 4 months, and worked for about 3.5 months. And now they're getting a break for 2 months, and they'll go back again. And now is the time when we have to get into the real business, which means about 150 to 200 people, skilled individuals working on this game for 1 year. And let's see, at least this is how I'm thinking of spreading Krishna consciousness, because today, nowadays, everybody plays video games. And the video games are so popular that video games actually have their philosophy. They have their own world, practically. And why can't we present our philosophy through this Mahabharata game? And if children, even the grown-ups, play the game, get to know the theme of Mahabharata, and eventually they get to know Krishna and his devotees, the Pandavas, and how the battle was finally fought and won due to Krishna's being present on the side of his devotees. And then probably they'll be inspired to at least read Mahabharata, and then they'll be inspired to come close to read Bhagavad Gita and come close to ISKCON. So, anyway, this is my humble endeavor to do something for Srila Prabhupada. So, I pray to Srila Prabhupada and all the devotees that somehow I can do something for his interest in spreading Krishna consciousness and the desire to spread all over the world. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.
One more thing I wanted to add
is that I was very fortunate to come across, to find Jai Chaitanya. Jai Chaitanya is an ISKCON youth who is leading the team. His father was in New Vrindavan, his parents were in New Vrindavan, but at some point in time, they left New Vrindavan, and he actually grew up outside. And I met him in 1998, and he became involved with the Abhayacharan production in America. And he was very artistic, and he did 3D animation, and he was teaching in a 3D animation school in Canada. And so last year I met him, and already I set up a 3D animation studio in Mayapur, and I invited him to come and get involved in Mayapur, and he agreed, and he created a team consisting of mostly students from the animation school. I mean, he picked the best students from the school, and then since I went to Ujjain and I was going to spend my time there, so we decided that we would rather set up a studio in Ujjain, and that's what we did. And in 3 months they have created this. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Hare Krishna. So, you know, evening is still young because no one has to go home. So there's no need to drive off and rush home because we'll continue with bhajans. So we're just going to set up for that. And for those that are coming in late this evening, we can continue with the registration and show you up to your room. And for those that are peckish, we still have the evening prasadam continuing all the way. So the bhajans will go on probably till midnight, which is quite early. But the morning program will begin here at 7 in the morning. So we hope to see all of you for 7 in the morning. And it's not a long day. So you can get some rest as well. Anything else? Hare Krishna.
Suçit olsun.